Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. If you are new, well, this is still actually pretty new. It's our Money Matter series. So we are talking everything about financial literacy. And then we're also interviewing people that have gotten out of debt or weren't even in debt. So today we have Brenna Humphreys on. She was on before, but we wanted to discuss with her today, her journey, because she did not have any school debt. So we thought that that would be really interesting to unpack what that was like for her and the things that she did. So that way, if you are a young adult or you're a parent and you're trying to figure out ways to pay for college and just ensure that you have the least amount of debt, if none at all, you can listen to some of these tips and listen to what Brenna did and see what you can glean from that. So, hi, Brenna.
Hey, Brenna.
Hi. Hey, y'all. Thank you for having me.
She had a last name change since we last spoke to her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's no longer
true.
Brenna Humphrey.
We're gonna do another. It's Brenna Lewis.
It's Brenna Lewis. Lewis.
Allow it's just, me to no, like, reintroduce Brenna myself. Just
like, wait, no, do that again. Do that again. I like that. Go ahead.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
Gosh.
B-L. That's
B-L. Oh, right. I had a
rap later.
Past dream of being a rapper.
You know, that's why I said, we'll let you close this out with a Money Matters rap. Funny. But yeah, so I feel like we've mentioned you multiple times when we talked about going to school with like no debt. You know, we always like slide you in because you're our hero. You're a hero. And oh, for real though, I don't think I know anybody else really that has gone to school and completed it debt free. I don't think I have. I saw that.
I was like, how'd you do that? It was hard to.
Oh, she's on her phone. Maybe that's why. I don't know. That's crazy. Okay, side note. Sorry, we got distracted. Is making hearts and it's actually making hearts over here. But I think you're the only person that I know that has completed college without any debt. And we always slide you in there. But when we were talking about this new series, we were like, we definitely have to have Brenna on.
Mm-hmm.
Just to talk about, yeah, like Kemi said, just to help other families out there navigate this college process and hopefully have no debt or the least amount of debt possible. So we just want you like to start. Can you just share? Let's start with sharing like what the strategy was when you were going to college. Like, y'all sat down, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I know your parents. I know y'all sat down and talked about like how you're going to pay for school.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like,
yeah. First of all, I'm so honored to be back on. Love you guys. Love the pod. It's amazing. And anytime I have a chance to help share what I learned going to college and graduating debt-free, I am happy to do so. So to answer your question, I have an older brother, and his name is Kevin, and he was always the smarter one out of the two of us. I say that freely and happily. And so Kevin had almost a perfect SAT score. And so when he was going to college, he would receive letters saying, we want to give you a full scholarship, like wow. Howard University, full ride, Morehouse, full ride. I can't even remember all the schools, but he had a whole stack of papers of schools that were, he didn't even apply to. They were reaching out to him because of his SAT score. Yeah. Which I didn't even know they share that publicly. I think it's called like the junior SAT. When you take that, they share that data with colleges early. Anyways, so he had so many options for scholarships. And I remember that distinctly because I was like, wait, you can go to college for free if you're smart. And so that actually gave me motivation to work harder because at the time I was a freshman when he was a senior. I was like, okay, I could do better. I'm not about to get a perfect SAT score, but I could try my best to get good grades and all of that. And so that was part of my motivation. And then, but what's so interesting is my brother decided to go to Georgia Tech, and then he went to Emory University for grad school, and he did not graduate debt-free. So the schools that he decided to go to didn't give him full rides or even 50%. And so he went into debt in a major way just because of the schools that he chose. And that was also a lesson learned for me and for my parents too, was that it does take some strategy in choosing which school to go to and choosing the school that will give you the most money too. So I think if he went back again, he might make a different decision based off of, you know, where he is now. But for me, I was like, okay, if a school offers me money, I would prefer to go there. And my parents were saying the same thing. They were like, oh, you are going to a university that gives you a scholarship. And because at that point, they co-signed with him on his loans, and they were starting to, by the time I was a senior, they were starting to see the loans stack up. So it wasn't even as formal of a conversation. It was just like an understanding of, I know my parents, I know they don't have it financially to pay for a four-year degree. And I know that, like, I saw the experience of my brother. I know that good grades and student leadership and things like that can help me to receive scholarships. And I know that certain schools, for some reason, are more willing to give scholarships than others to a particular student. And so based off of that, I was like, all right, that's my plan. So I'm going to keep my grades up and apply to as many individual scholarships as I can. And then I'm going to find schools, four-year degree schools that are willing to give me something towards my tuition. And that was my strategy.
And I really like how you said you had a strategy, because back in the day, me and Kiki talk about this all the time. Back in the day, I think it was the Pell Grant used to pay, I think it was like close to over 70% of what your tuition, including like your dorm and all that stuff. So it was really affordable back in the day when our parents went. Mm-hmm. And now today it's not the case. So you have to be strategic. And I think that what has happened is, you know, that mindset of you need to automatically go to a four-year school. We're just ushered into that without more of the strategy piece of it. And since we're so young and this is our first time dealing with money, I think some people don't have a strategy. They're like, I'll figure it out as I go. And then when they graduate, they're like, oh man, I would have, should have, could have, and I could have saved some money on another route. So this is why this episode is so beneficial, so other people can hear this. So you mentioned applying for different scholarships, doing well in school, and trying to figure out schools that would pay you more money. So I guess let's start with, in school, what did you do to kind of make yourself stand out?
That's an excellent question, because just like the example of my brother, it took more than just good grades. I mean, for me personally, going to Elon University, it also took student leadership, good grades within my classes, AP classes, that helps as well. Or even taking classes like at a local community college, all of those credits help to decrease the dollars you'll have to pay at a four-year degree. And then, of course, your SAT or ACT score is extremely important. But because I knew that my SAT score was not going to be as high as my brother's, it was going to be more in the average range, I knew that I had to make up for it in student leadership, community leadership. And so this was something that my mom and my parents have always been big on, like involvement and student leadership. And so I started a nonprofit organization when I was in, it was in 2008 when I was in high school. And I think that I know that that set me apart as I applied for scholarships. Like, it was not many of my classmates that were doing that. And it was a simple idea. It was, the organization was called Kids Read, and it was based off of a statistic that I heard at the time that said 60% of children that grow up in low-income homes don't have age-appropriate books. And for me growing up, my parents always pressed the importance of education and reading. And we would even go to, like, libraries would sometimes sell their books after they've had them for so long, and they'll sell them for really low prices. And so we would buy books there. We would, of course, go to the library and just rent some or reserve some and then bring them back. But anyways, books were always something that I had. So we had so many of them around the house. And I was like, wait a minute, this should be an easy fix. If we can just take books that are gently used from children that have already aged out of that, you know, reading level and give them to children who need them, that's it. And that was the idea. And so I started gathering books. I would do book drives all over at my high school, at some of the younger schools in the area. And over a matter of years, I was able to collect over 5,000 books and give them to children. Yeah. And so it was something that started pretty simple, at least in my opinion, but it ended up growing to something that really impacted my education process, like getting scholarships. I really think even getting jobs and internships down the line. And not just on paper, but that experience of leading and coming up with a solution to a problem, being able to communicate with people. Like, we would give books to local hospitals, and we ended up giving some to a library in Jamaica. Like, just being able to use those communication skills at a young age has helped me to get to where I am now. And so that's the number one thing I would say was my differentiator with student leadership. And I was involved in my high school too. I did a ton of community service hours in those 4 years. So all of that combined with good grades, I took AP classes. Did I do well in all of them? Not so much, but it was good exposure for me and just good practice. Like, I think it's important to, as a senior, especially junior and senior, it's important to start to get your mind ready as a student for what to expect in college. And because I already had experienced the rigor of AP classes and like community school classes, that helped me like be ready mentally for freshman year. So when I got to Elon as a business student, my freshman year was a breeze. I'm so grateful for that. And that was my highest GPA that year, all A's, because I felt like I really was prepared from those AP classes and what I did in my high school years.
Wow. That's amazing. And I wish that I took AP mm-hmm. classes, because I went to a college prep school. And then when I went to college, I had a great GPA. I was on like regional honor society when I graduated. And then my first year of freshman year, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't feel like I really was prepared. But that's a side note. But the one thing I wanted to mention is, if I was in like the admission seat or something, and I heard your story of starting a nonprofit, one, that takes a lot of structure for a high school person, and it takes a lot mm-hmm. of, what's the word I'm looking for? You're very proactive. And that's something I think that people really admire if they're trying to hire them or look for someone to stand out, because even like you said, you didn't do well in your AP classes. It's like, oh, she saw a need, but she still was pushing and figuring it out. Versus like maybe someone does have some good grades, but they're lacking follow through on some other things. I think they're like, this student has the wherewithal. It's a good, safe bet to give the money because she's going to use it well. And it's not mm-hmm. going to be, you know, unfortunately, there's some people that get money and they, you know, they aren't able to overcome some of those obstacles. So that definitely would stand out to me if I was looking at scholarship applications or admission applications.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I wanted to ask too, just like listening and just so people can be clear. Did you apply to any loans? Like, when you were applying to college, did you apply to any loans that first semester, or was it solely like your scholarships that you applied to covered that first semester, the first year?
Mm-hmm. So it was all scholarships that covered that first year. So how I did mm-hmm. it was, I applied to, I want to say, over 30 individual like community scholarships, and mm-hmm. I became best friends with my like college counselor in high school. I guess I mm-hmm. like the college prep person in high school, mm-hmm. and so I would go to her office all the time, and I would ask her, "Hey, what community scholarships do you have that I could apply for?" And when I say community scholarships, it was like the local sorority chapter may have mm-hmm. give away $1,000. All types. Sometimes it was like nursing homes and just all types of organizations.
Law offices give away. Them out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like law offices, and like there's other organizations mm-hmm. and stuff. Yeah, you're right.
Yep. memorial funds, all types of stuff. So I really used her as a resource. And once she realized I was serious about it, she would just flooded me with opportunities. And I would apply. And honestly, some of those scholarships that I received, they would tell me, we only had 3 people to apply. There were some that they said I was the only person that applied. So it wasn't even like I was winning based off of my amazingness. That was not it. It was just that no one else was applying. And I, when you talk about being proactive, I think that's such an important point, because there are some dollars out there that it's not even about your merit. It's really just about you taking the time as a student to apply yourself, apply for the scholarship and see if you get it or not. And or in some cases, apply for the grant or even ask like, hey, do you have more financial aid that you can give me? But it's that level of being proactive that makes the difference. And so going back to your question, Kiki, I applied to over 30. I received 9 out of 30.
Oh, yeah.
And and so when that's added up, it's still, compared to our Elon tuition, it wasn't that much, but it still was, you know, a good amount for my first year. I can't remember the exact amount, but it had to be at least 9,000. Let's say they were each 1,000. So $9,000. And then I also did receive a larger scholarship. It was a Watson Odyssey program at Elon. I was a recipient of that. At the time, it was partial, but it still was very helpful for me. And that was it. So I didn't have to, like, everything that I need was covered for the first year. Now, as the years went on, tuition increases. I didn't know that, but tuition increases. So I had to get creative through the years. I also did work study. That was how I kind of was able to fill in some of the gaps too. So I that first year, I did not have to apply for any loans, but I did have to apply for some small ones moving on, like as tuition went up, and I would pay them off using my summer internships. I guess it would have to be summer internships or jobs that I had during the school year.
Smart. What is smarticle particle? But no, I mean, it's like credit. Like Kimmy and I were talking about before you came on, Brenda, we were just talking about like how Kimmy was saying her dad taught her, or like she just always knew from her dad that you paid your credit cards off. So that's kind of it's kind of the same idea, the same concept. Like anyone listening, if you're taking out loans, I think this is like the trap of student loans is they give you that 6-month grace period, and they're like, okay, you have 6 months after you graduate, you're in deferment, you don't have to pay anything, there's no penalties, your loan repayments start in 6 months. But I didn't even think, I was just like, oh great, because I don't really have a job like that. I had a part-time job, but it wasn't, you know, anything, but I still could have been paying something. I wasn't thinking, because there's interest that is accruing. Like, it's not like your whole payment is on pause, but the interest is not. And so just the idea of like, oh, we could have been paying off like small parts of our loans. I think we probably could have even been paying off our loans that we took out. We probably could have been paying towards those in college. Yeah, obviously you did it.
You know, like
Brenna thought that.
I can't even take all the credit. This is the product of being born to a Caribbean mother. Like my mom, and she just never played about debt. And even I told you all the story about my brother's debt. Like my parents would complain about that all the time. And so that was just rehearsed in my head, like pay off the loans. And they just raised me to not take out debt if I can, like to pay cash for things. So, shout out to Brunetta, my mom.
Shout out.
So I had like a comment and then I had a question, because it's so funny. You said I applied for 30 scholarships, and some kids are probably like, that's so much. And I'm like, no, once you're an adult and you start applying for jobs, that ain't nothing, baby. So like, that ain't nothing. Might as well get started now.
Practice now.
And then that was great. You got $9,000 back, like around $9,000 back that you know of. And that plug really is the community too, because I got, I think, 1 or 2 scholarships in the community where I lived. And a lot of people weren't applying for them either. But that was my comment of like, that really wasn't that bad because you probably took some of your essays, re-sculpted them, and then sent them out.
So true. Yes, that's the plug, because most of my essays or applications, I was able to reuse the same essay, mm-hmm. you know, and so they weren't all that time consuming. I mean, there was a level of sacrifice in my senior year, and I remember staying up really late some of those nights having to like do applications and still maintain my schoolwork. But I knew that it was like temporary pain for long-term gain. Like I knew that it would pay off. And just like you mentioned, 9 out of 30, that's still pretty good mm-hmm. compared to, you know, like even the odds for jobs these days. I'll be doing good to get one job out of 30 applications, maybe more than that. So, yeah. So like you say, that's great preparation for future applications in the real world.
And did you start applying for scholarships just your senior year, or did you start applying from freshman?
Good question. I think junior year was the earliest that I applied for any. Junior and senior year, or that's when I was able to apply. I did start doing some like summer programs and even working jobs during my summers earlier in high school. To like some of them were for college prep. One program is called En-ROADS that I've mentioned before. But when it comes to applications, it wasn't until junior year.
Yeah, and I think that's something that a lot of people aren't aware of either, because there's some scholarships out there that people who are listening, if you have a child who's a freshman, they can start applying for some scholarships now, which is crazy. So you might as well break up that time and just start applying now.
Absolutely. And some of the bigger scholarships, the ones that come to mind right now, like Coca-Cola is a really big, it's very competitive. So yeah. I think to differentiate what we're talking about, Brenda, like community scholarships or local ones probably aren't going to be as competitive. Like you said, you were sometimes one or three people applying to the scholarships, mm-hmm. or sometimes you were the only person applying, which happens a lot. This is a side note, but I don't remember who said this to me, but it could have been when I worked for the College Advising Corps, and we've always encouraged students to apply to scholarships. But I think one of the programs that came to talk to us said that sometimes even in August, before school even starts, there are still a lot of scholarships that have a lot of money in the pot still. Like people haven't applied, or enough people haven't applied. So there's all this scholarship money that just gets left every year because no one's applying to the scholarship. So it's so important. And I was going to say the bigger ones, Coca-Cola is a really big one. One that I learned about when I worked for my College Advising Corps was QuestBridge. And that one I think is a full ride scholarship. Actually, it's like 23 of the most selective colleges in the country. But it's like full ride to give you technology like laptop and your books are covered. Everything's covered, but it's just very competitive. But it's just like, why not? Like if you qualify for these mm-hmm. scholarships, just apply to them. What's another one? There's one called the Jack Kent Cook Foundation Scholarship. I think you can apply. I think they have something for like middle schoolers or like for very young, like middle school or high school. They kind of do like a program with them. But just things like you said, Brenna, that can help you look and help your application look more robust when you're applying to college. So don't count those out. I'll never forget, my mom was like, you need to be applying to Coca-Cola. You need to be applying to da-da-da. And I was like, no, I just didn't want to. I just like did not want to apply to these scholarships. Don't ask me why. But I was just like, I think I thought I was going to school on a tennis scholarship, and that did not happen. But I just did not apply to scholarships like that. So if you're a parent listening, like just make your kid do it. And like you said, you can reuse essays. Some don't even require essays. Some just want you to put your name, your address, and you may have to give like two sentences. Like it's not even that difficult for a lot of these scholarships a lot of the times. But yep. Just like me, I don't know why, just being rebellious and being like, no, I'm good. I'll pay for it later. I'm paying for it later. So don't be like me.
I have a question. So, because it goes back to like what you were saying before about strategy. So when you were looking at schools, can you tell us about your scholarship, your college? Or are you looking at schools that obviously were a fit for the programs that you wanted, but then you were also kind of like, you know, clothes shopping, where like, ooh, that's $20. That's too much. Or, ooh, you know, like that's like a deal. Like, how did you go about that? And then when I think of this comparison of money for schools, I think of like budgeting. So I'm just curious, did your family teach you how to budget at a young age? Because not many people think that way. So I'm just curious.
That is a great question. So to answer the first one, in Georgia, there's something called the HOPE Scholarship, and it's available to students that have a certain GPA and are going to an in-state school. It's a pretty good deal because the price, they bring down the price of tuition quite a bit. I don't think it's free. It's a partial scholarship, but it still is really good. So growing up, I would hear about that all the time. And my mom especially pretty much made it clear, like, you are going to go to a Georgia school on the HOPE Scholarship, because that was just the most attainable for us and for our family. And I did apply. I applied through the HOPE Scholarship. I applied to quite a few Georgia schools. And then I also somehow heard about Elon. Maybe I received some mail. It was just always interested in Elon University in North Carolina. And this was a private school. It was everything that I was not supposed to be applying to. It was private. It was very expensive. It was out of state. They don't accept the HOPE Scholarship. But yet it was my favorite. And part of the reason why I was able to get my parents to even go and visit, Elon has they give a high percentage of scholarships away. Now they might be small in size, but they give a lot away based off of like your GPA and stuff. And so it was that statistic that I used for my parents. I'm like, look, they give the majority of their students scholarships. We need to go visit. And then I also applied to their fellows program, leadership fellows program, and was invited to campus to interview for that. And they also offered a scholarship. Now, what I didn't tell my parents at the time was that the scholarship was only maybe $2,000. It was pretty small. And my parents thought it was like probably a full ride. So I was able to convince them to drive us from Marietta, Georgia to Burlington, North Carolina.
Burlington.
And once they got there and found out how small the award was, they were like, what? I heard it all the way home. Anyways, so my strategy really was almost all Georgia schools that were in the HOPE Scholarship, because I knew that the tuition would be much lower for those. And then outside of that, it was applying to schools that I felt I had a higher chance of getting a scholarship to. And I can't remember all the schools that I applied to, but most of them were in-state, like I said, and the ones that were private were, I was trying to be strategic about it, like maybe they needed more Black students, like I think Davis University is one. There are some other smaller schools in the Carolinas that were still close to Georgia for me that I was interested in. I'm like, okay, look, they need more students of color, so it's the chances should be higher that they should have scholarships, particularly for that type of student. So yeah, that's, you have to work with what God gave you. And so if it's not academics, if it's not academics, you know, whatever it is, sports, athletes do the same thing. They look for schools that will that want their athletic skills that they bring to the table. So that was my strategy. Your second question was around budgeting. That's a great one. I will say yes. I think there were times where it wasn't very consistent throughout my entire childhood, but there were times where my parents would give us a very small, what is it called?
Allowance,
that's it. A very small allowance. When I say very small, probably like $5. And they would teach us how to save some of it, buy something with it, give some away to church or to, you know, someone in need. So it's like they were teaching me at a like really foundational level how to always save some, always give to those in need, and then to, you know, pay for your bills, pay for the things that you need. So there were things like that that they did that I really appreciate way more now than I did back then.
I feel like I'm always like, I don't know why, like we're getting older in age, I'm like, I want to have children. What do I want to instill? what did you learn? Like your quality. Right. What'd you learn? Yes.
Well, because they're going to be on a podcast one day and you have to have an answer to those questions.
Yes. My mom, Kimmy, taught me.
Exactly.
Trust me, you all kids are going to be way on top of it. I'm the student president.
Hilarious. They're going to be. I just wanted to emphasize what you said about, and I just really thought about this, but like applying to schools that, and this is like a duh, but like really applying to schools that align with your interests. Like just thinking like how that's all connected. Like you had a nonprofit. Elon is really big on. There was something we had to like meet before you could graduate. You had to like do certain things, like leadership. Mm-hmm. Yeah, leadership service, internship, travel. There was a name for it.
Experiential learning, I think. Yeah.
Thank you. So, like Elon is like obvious that they're just really big on that. You know, if you want to be a aerospace engineer, you know, look at schools that course, but like look at school, like look at things that you can do in high school. I will never forget. I read an article about like a kid that wanted to go to MIT and they'd already like built something like really ingenious. And MIT was like, well, you don't need us. Like you already did this. Like what, you know, but that was just MIT. Like there could have been like Georgia Tech or, you know, Berkeley or something like that. A school like those may have wanted that student. So it's like, you know, you really have to like hone in on what you're good at. The athletics, it could be academics. It could be you have a business at a very young age, which a lot of kids do these days. Maybe you're an influencer, which a lot of kids are these days, and you know a school may want those traits that you have. So you really should be looking at schools that like not just have your interests, but like that would want your skills as well, because it makes them look better. What's happening? I missed it.
No, you said influencers. I was doing like the renegade.
Oh, renegade. That's hilarious. But I feel like, you know, schools are gonna be like, oh, you're a social media mogul, like we want you. So it's schools that have your interest, but schools also want you too. So like what can you do? And like Brenna, you already said that, but like how you stood out. So that's just things for kids to think about. And everyone's not gonna be an influencer, so, or social media influencer, so just so you know. But I mean, we were talking about this before we started recording. We couldn't remember. Did you go to your master's program debt-free too? Like, did you finish that debt-free?
I did.
Okay, well, let's talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm so grateful. Like, it's definitely a blessing from God to get 2 degrees debt-free. And the second one was much more expensive. So I went to business school at at Washington University in St. Louis. Mm-mm. And sometimes it's called WashU.
Yeah.
And had a great 2 years there, traveled to 5 countries while I was there, and almost all of that was paid for by the university. And I applied through a program called the Consortium, and it is specifically for students that serve students of color in some way. So it's the majority of the students are Black and Hispanic, but they do not deny anyone. As long as you can write your essay about how you are serving that particular community of minorities, they're open. And so, excellent program. They offer both partial and full rides, but they also give access to an amazing network of other consortium graduates that went to business school. And they offer internship opportunities. They do some professional development. They have a conference every summer of graduate school where you come together with all of the other schools that are part of this consortium. I think it's like 17 schools at least. And it was just an amazing opportunity. Some of my best friends in grad school were a part of the program too. Highly recommend it. Call the Consortium for Graduate Study in Management. You can go to cgsm.org to find out more information. And like I said, I know, right? Yeah, I highly plug it. And some of the universities that are a part of it are like Columbia University, Cornell, Indiana University. Like it goes all the way up to like the Yales of the world to some more mid-tier schools, but still really good schools. So you apply first to the consortium and you have to be accepted based off of like your student leadership, your work experience, stuff like that. And then you apply to the individual schools that are part of the program. And you can apply for really as many as you want, I think. I applied for at least like three of them, I want to say, and was offered. And let me say this too. I applied 2 years. The first time I applied, I did not get in. And it was because I played when it came to my GRE and GMAT studies. I played. And so my score wasn't what it should be. Like you definitely have to apply yourself to at least be within average of these schools, of the like average score that they typically receive. And so the second time around, I took some classes, some GRE classes to get my score up and really invested in myself, invested the time and the dollars to get what I needed to get my score up. Second year, got the full ride to WashU. And I also got a partial scholarship to UNC Chapel Hill's program too, but decided to go where the money was at, where the money resides. And so the consortium is excellent. There are other programs like MLT, if you're specifically interested in business. It is I think it's Management Leadership for Tomorrow is what MLT stands for. So it's a couple excellent programs for people who are interested in getting a business degree that can help you financially and also professionally as you go after that degree. So that's my story of my full ride for graduate school.
That's amazing, because we were curious too if you had a full ride, because of the fact that there's like not as many scholarships available for people that go to get their master's versus when you're younger. So that's why we were wondering, like, okay, how did she do that? In case there's other people that are out here listening, other young adults who are like, well, I want to go to master's. How can I afford that? What should I do, or what should I look for? So that's very helpful.
Yeah, I agree. I was a little concerned when I was applying to graduate school about getting a scholarship, because there aren't as many like partial scholarships like what I got, or not partial, but community, like the $9,000 that I got for undergraduate. I wasn't finding nearly as many community scholarships for grad school. Now there are some, but most of them are focused on undergrad. So I knew I had to get creative, but when you hear about programs like the consortium and MLT, it makes you realize, oh, there actually are opportunities out there. And it's kind of like a best kept secret, I sometimes feel, because I didn't hear about, I think I found out about it online, and then I might have heard about it once or twice in another program I was in called En-ROADS. But these aren't things that are talked about a lot, or even as much as they should be. That's why I plug them every chance I get, because they saved me thousands of dollars for my grad degree and gave me just an amazing experience and lifelong friendships too.
Now that's a good point, because there isn't that much out there for graduate school. But you said like your GRE scores, your GMAT scores weren't where they needed to be at initially. And I can relate to that. That's why I didn't get in grad school, period. That's one of the reasons. But I played with my testing as well. I was just like, oh, I'm just going in there. I studied for like 20 minutes probably. And just went and just, like in total, probably studied for an hour. I'll say that. But I just didn't take it seriously. But there are scholarships for grad school, like within the school a lot of time. But your scores have to be good. You have to have good grades. And they're like very few and far between. So to find something like the consortium is a big deal. But that just speaks to something you said at the beginning, or like towards the beginning, of how you started out just going to your counselor's office, like your guidance counselor's office, and you showed them that you were serious about scholarships. And I just wanted to, I'm the commentary here. Kemi has all the good questions. I'm just the commentary. But like you showed your counselor that you were serious. And so then they were like, okay, well, I'm going to send Brenda scholarships. And I'm sure that carried you, like obviously it carried you through education as well, because you continued to just be proactive and initiate. You know, you were like, well, I don't just have the money just sitting around. I have to go find the money. And I mean, of course, like that's favor on your life, like sure as well. Like big, like huge blessings. But like you also, like you did the work to go find scholarships, and you did the work to go find these programs and networking. So, and that question too, with En-ROADS, I can't remember, did you find out about that through Elon, like through the business school?
No, I'd have found out about it beforehand. Yeah, I guess I am a researcher at heart, now that you say it. Right. Like, I'm, I've been doing my own digging and asking around. And so I heard about En-ROADS when I was still in high school. But it is so critical to my journey, because that's how I got the paid internships during the summers, which helped me to pay off those student loans while I was still in school. Yeah, and I... when I think about the 4 years at Elon, I only asked my parents for money one time. I asked my dad, it was probably a total of $250, and it was because we were going on tour with the gospel choir, and I didn't have the money at the time. I was probably a freshman. That was the only time I asked my parents for money in my entire college career. And the part of that is my own, like, independence, you know, sense of independence and all of that. And all, like, I am a business major, so I'm all about, like, okay, how can I save, invest, and all that. But yeah, I didn't want to be a burden on my parents. Plus, I knew that they couldn't afford a lot financially anyways. But I wanted to make sure that I had what I needed to be independent and self-sufficient. And so En-ROADS, work study, those types of programs helped me in undergrad. And then I also worked for at least part of the time while I was in grad school too. I would work with the international students to edit their resumes. And so that was like my part-time job in grad school.
So my question.
I know.
No, there you have it, folks. You got to do the work. But
gotta do the work. I'm over here looking at En-ROADS like I'm going back to school. I'm like,
is there an adult version of this?
Right. I'm over here looking at it, I'm like, what's all about over here? But my final question is, so now, like, looking at where you are now. So now that you hadn't had to pay these lump sums of, you know, college, paying back college loans, what do you think that's enabled you to do, since you didn't have to pay this large lump sum of debt back that also incurred interest? What do you think that's freed you up?
That's such a good question. It's given me a level of financial freedom that I only could have dreamed of. And I'm not where I want to be completely, but I was able to purchase my first home a few years back in 2021. And I know that I wouldn't have been able to make a major purchase like that if I was more focused on paying off my student loans. And also just, it's given me the freedom to be able to travel and do things that I want to do. Part of it too has been me, right after college, I moved home, and that helped me to really, like, stack up my money and save up so that I could put money down the line towards the down payment. But just having the financial flexibility to travel, to make these big investments, and the debt that I have on my mortgage is different than the debt that I've had in the past for, like, you know, the student loans that I paid off, right? Like, we want good debt. We want debt that is working right. for us and giving up, building equity. So I just feel really grateful and humble to be able to make this type of purchase, and even looking to do more investment properties in the future. It really has just given me a jump start to financial flexibility and freedom that I hope I can just continue to grow and grow as I get older.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's awesome. That's a real testimony as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like a lot of people, it's just like the American, not the American dream. It's just like, capitalism is to have debt, you know, like to accrue debt, and like the bad debt. Like, yeah, there's also good debt, but you don't have to live this way. And so that's a testament and a testimony that if you make the right decisions, that's all it takes, is making the right decisions, and you can have financial freedom. So I'm inspired. Before we wrap up, can you just, like, recap? If you didn't listen to anything we said for the last 30, 40 minutes, can you just, like, recap the strategy that you used to graduate college debt-free, please?
Absolutely. Well, there's a pay now, pay later strategy, which is, either you can, if you're in high school currently, Either you can pay now by taking the time to apply for as many community and local and even national scholarships as you can. You can pay now by being a student leader, being involved, keeping good grades up, trying to apply yourself to study and get average or as best of a score as you can. Or you can pay later, which is paying later in student loans. And interest too. Don't forget about that. Interest. So that's the simple way of saying it. Pay now, pay later. And that's like almost anything in life, but especially when it comes to the college experience, like you really have an opportunity to apply yourself early on in your high school years so that you can benefit from it as a college student and beyond. Yeah. And that also can be applying yourself as a student on campus through jobs, internships, being proactive in networking and finding out about programs that can help you in your career. Pay now, pay later. And there's a payoff if you pay earlier on, because you're able to have the flexibility of investing in yourself, purchasing, you know, your first home or whatever it is that you desire for your particular path. You have the flexibility to do it when you put in the work early on. So that's the biggest takeaway for people listening, whether you're a parent or a student. That's the mentality is, okay, pay now, pay later, and how can I be strategic now for my future? Even if that means staying up late, applying to those 30 or plus scholarships, staying at school a little bit later than you may want to because you are involved in student organizations and you start your own organization, putting in all of that work will pay off. I guarantee it, because it has for me. Yeah.
Thank you. Awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome. One thing I didn't mention that I wish I did is, like, not everyone's path, as you all know, is a 4-year college. Mm-hmm. The military can be a great opportunity to also graduate debt-free. Like, if you go into the military first and then you go to college. My dad actually did that, and he went into the military at age 18 and got all his degrees paid for by the military. Mm-hmm. And then something that I didn't do, but if I had to go back again and had the opportunity, I would, which would be starting at a community college first and then transitioning to a 4-year college if I so choose. I think that is an excellent way of graduating debt-free or near about debt-free. It definitely should be way less than 4 years of private or public tuition. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple other paths that aren't exactly like mine, but I think they definitely work depending on your life journey.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Thank you so much. Like, this was super valuable. And I think these are practical things that anybody can use. Like, if you're the first person in your family to go to college, you can do the same things that Brenna did. If you're the 100th person in your family to go to college, like, no matter where you are or who's gone before you, you can do these things. It's really just a matter of using your resources to the best of your ability and using them as much as you can, because that's really what you did. And you just did it well. You just really did it well. Like, not to say that, like, no one, like, we, Kemi and I use resources too. We use them in different ways. But it's also like you said, you had somebody before you. Like, your brother was probably, like, the biggest determining factor, because you were like, no, I'm not about to have my parents talking to me like this all the time. So that's a huge help. But yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is that anyone can implement these strategies of applying to scholarships and using your resources, especially in school. I do think that your guidance counselors, like, when they see that you are taking the initiative, or your teachers even, they see you taking the initiative and you're asking questions, they're more likely to really pour into you. Because imagine they have, like, so many students, and sometimes you're simply a number, but if you're standing out, then hate to say it this way, but they're more likely to assist you in those ways of trying to get to whatever path it is, whether, like Brenna said, it's military, community college, 4-year school, trade school. They're just more willing to invest that time in you. So yeah, that's my soapbox. I'll get off now. But thank you so much, Brenna. We love you. Friend of the podcast.
Yes.
We'll see you again. Forever
friend. I'll come back anytime.
See you next week.
Thanks for
talk
having
about
me.
Something. I'm sure we'll have you back for something. But yeah, thank you so much for being here. We appreciated it a lot, just because, yeah, that was very, really valuable. And I hope this can reach a lot of people. We hope this reaches a lot of people that will take this to heart. But thanks everyone for listening. If you're a student listening, if you're a parent listening, episode so that it can just share it. This is probably one of our, like, we have a lot of important episodes, but this is probably one of our more important episodes. We just want everyone to graduate with no debt or as little debt as possible. Please, please. So share this podcast episode. We would really appreciate it. And again, just thank you for supporting the podcast. Thanks for listening. If there are other topics that you want to hear related to the Money Matters series, feel free to let us know. You can email us. You can send us a message on Instagram, TikTok. You can message on TikTok, I think. Yeah. You can message us anywhere. You can find me and Kemi and you can talk to us. But we just want, if you have other topics that you'd like to hear, let us know. But you can find us on social media at Yawsyn Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, YAWSYN Podcast. Love to hear from you. We love any ideas that you all have because it just helps us to make sure that we're talking about things that relate to our listeners. But thank you all so much, and we will see you in the next one. See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.